We would appreciate your interest in prayer this morning. We've been meditating through the week on love again. Last week we studied about the strength of love and looked at what love is like, its strength, its what it has that doesn't bend or break. Love is strong, isn't it? It's stronger than death. It's many waters cannot quench love, can it? And so we know that as long as we keep love, it will be strong. It will meet the need. And so we want to get that love from the Lord, because God is love and He's the fountain of it. He's the one that provides it for us and gives it into our life. And so this morning I want to look at a little different aspect of it. We wrote on the board, love is patient. And so I pray that the Lord would cause this time to be strengthening to us and give us courage and give us understanding of what love is. That's a little piece of God, as we said, and we'll say a few more times probably. But I think about 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. And we see where it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. And then it goes on to say some other things about charity. But you know, this morning, charity suffers long and is kind. That's part of the makeup of love. And so, you know, I think about love. Love isn't just one word. Sure, it means affection, it means benevolence, it means goodwill. Charity does. And we want that in our lives, don't we? And it says it suffers long. That word really means patience. And I want to think a little bit about the practical application of patience in our life. And like I said, I pray that the Lord would make this so for all of us. It's just been a real challenge to me this week, thinking about these different things. I was thinking about the different elements that make up charity. And you know, so many things that we have different elements in it. It's not just one element, is it? And so we look at the whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it tells us a lot of things that love is and that love isn't, and that without it, we don't have anything. Love is it's supremely important in our life. And if we can just comprehend it, we're comprehending a piece of what God is. And if we can understand more, Lord, of your nature and of how you work, it really makes things work pretty good. It really does. It makes things work, doesn't it? Love does. A love isn't selfish, is it? Love is giving. The very nature of love is something that gives. It comes from us. It comes from the giver. And it blesses the one that loves, that is loved. And I was thinking this morning, too, about the process that elements are added together to make things. And, you know, a lot of things are made by combining different elements. And lots of times those involve heat and pressure. And I want to think a little bit. I want us to catch this little thing here that I'm fixing to read to you. I looked up steel. I have a table at home. I have a table saw that's got a solid steel table. I've had it for a long, long time. And what I've found is that over the years, if I need to know if anything is not flat, not straight with one another, I can lay it on that table And it'll tell me, because it's been the same all the time. It's been the same through the years. It's just been flat. It was ground flat. It was hard. It doesn't bend when the weather changes or anything like that. It's a gauge that I can go by when I'm looking at a cabinet door or a piece of wood that I'm thinking, can I put this piece of wood with this other piece and come out with something that's smooth and flat and all of that? You know, then I put it on this thing. But I want to talk just for a minute about steel. Steel is not just iron. Did you know that? I mean, I know we know that. Steel is a combination of things that are put together, and it forms that steel. Some of it's more brittle, some of it's more hard, some of it, the different kinds of steel are made. But I want to read what I copied out a little bit about making steel. It says, to make pure steel, iron and carbon are needed. On its own, iron is not very strong, but a low concentration of carbon, less than 1%, depending on the kind of steel, gives the steel its important properties. There's a little element in steel that mixes with the 90-something, as I understand it, the 90-something percent iron, and that little less than 1% of carbon mixed with it changes the properties completely. And it gives me that table that I can count on for years and years, all the time. It's always the same. It's got two grooves running through it. I can put a table in it and run this table across sled. And it always tracks exactly the same because it's had this stuff added to it. But I want to read to you how it's added to it, because to me it's just really important. It says, less than 1% of carbon, depending on the kind of steel, gives the steel its important properties. The carbon in steel is obtained from coal, and the iron from iron ore. However, iron ore is a mixture of iron and oxygen and other trace elements. To make steel, the iron needs to be separated from the oxygen, and a tiny amount of carbon needs to be added, less than 1% in many cases. Both are accomplished. Both those processes, and we've talked about the process of how things come to be what they are. Both are accomplished by melting the ore at a very high temperature, over 3,000 degrees, in the presence of oxygen or from the air, and a type of coal called coke. And, you know, at those temperatures, the iron ore releases its oxygen, which is carried away by the carbon from the coke in the form of carbon dioxide. You know, this morning, that's pretty hot. Now, we think about something boiling. And when something is boiling at 212 degrees, I consider that really hot. But this is talking about 3,000 degrees. I'd call that really hot, wouldn't you? But that's what it takes for this iron ore, when mixed with the right things, to give up the things that keep it from being what it needs to be. And so this morning, that's what it takes for the carbon to be able to enter in with the iron ore and steel to come forth. You know, you can't go out and mine steel like you can granite and just cut it in pieces, cut it in slices. You can't do that. But it can be made. And I just want us to think this morning how the Lord wants to take our lives, and He wants to infuse our lives and infuse some things into our lives that make us different forever. It makes us more able to be counted on forever. And love is something that is so valuable and so precious in our lives that, folks, sometimes I believe, because, see, we start out, we want to love, we think we love, and then we find that we have some deficiencies in it, don't we? And the Lord has to put us many times in under what would you say, the crucible or what? He has to put us under intense pressure and fire and temperature sometimes for us to finally give up those things that keeps him from producing in us what he wants to produce. And so I want to encourage us this morning that the same way that steel is made, I believe there's a purer love in our life that God wants to infuse into our lives that change us forever. And it's not all done at the altar. I know that there is a salvation, there is a sanctification, infilling of the Spirit of the Lord. Those are definite works. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of land to cover after we get that, isn't there? There's a lot of growing, there's a lot of understanding to get of the things that make our homes and our lives what they can be. And so this morning, I want to look at some different ideas, and we'll have to let the Lord put these things into our life in the way that matches our life. But in Ephesians 4 and 31, it tells us a few things that have to be given up. Okay, and I know that, anyway, I'll leave it at that for the moment. Let all bitterness, 4 and 31 of Ephesians, let all bitterness, you know, these are things that can corrupt a life, can't they? These are things that can ruin us. They can ruin relationships. They can ruin who we are. And so Paul says, by the Spirit of the Lord, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know the Lord's done that, hadn't he? He's forgiven us. Did we deserve to be forgiven? Did we come up and say, Lord, you know that I've been a really good person and I, you know. No, we couldn't do that, could we? But the Lord, for Christ's sake, forgave us. And he tells us to forgive one another, doesn't he? And he tells us to love one another. And he says to be kind to one another and be tender-hearted to one another. Not because we deserved it, but because that's the way our Father is. And that's the way he wants us to be too. And so this morning, I'm just challenged today. Lord, I want to let those elements that you want to put into my life and change me, I want to let them work. And when the heat comes on, I don't want to run from the heat. I don't want to run from the trial. I want you to melt me down when I need melted down. Because see, what he's really wanting to do is he's wanting to make something better. Isn't he? This morning? He's wanting to make something better. And so I just want to consider in our minds and our hearts as we go through this, what is some of the things that, you know, I know that there's a place where bitterness defiles the soul. It does defile the soul. It can be sin in our hearts. But there's a gray area that we get to getting to that point, isn't there? And the Lord wants to take those things out of us and change who we are in the process. And so I want to look at patience. Now, it says charity suffereth long, really speaking of patience. I want to examine patience just for a few minutes. In Luke 21 and 19, it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Now, Jesus was talking to these people here, and he had just told them about things that would come their way. And he said, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed. Now talk about something that'll make you bitter. That could make people bitter, couldn't it? You'll be betrayed, not by your enemies, but it says, both by parents. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And so the Lord's telling us to be, to hold on there, or by your perseverance. And if you look up the readings of the Greek and the commentaries, another way of saying that would be by your perseverance. Instead of becoming fixated on your distress or trouble and, you know, breaking rank or whatever, make sure you remain steadfast and unmovable. That's what he's telling us there. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, in your patience, in dealing with all of these things and keeping true, he said, possess ye your souls. Don't let it get away from you. Don't let that sweetness get away out of your heart. Because the Lord puts sweetness in our hearts, doesn't he? That's what he puts in there. It is the devil that wants to come along and defile with bitternesses and angers and frustrations and fears and all of those things. He wants to defile our souls, doesn't he? The devil wants to do that. But you know, this morning, Jesus said, in your patience, when all these things come upon you, and your parents, your friends, whoever it is, because there's going to come a time, he said, when that's going to happen. And I know some of that happened during the destruction of Jerusalem. But you know what God did? He delivered his people, didn't he? He delivered them. Not one Christian, in fact, they say, was destroyed in the destruction of Jerusalem. Because God spoke, and they listened, and they moved. And so they left the place. When the armies came in, they were already in Israel. But when the last time that I believe it was Titus, wasn't it, that came up, and the prophet or whoever it was said, you need to get out of Jerusalem now. And the people got out. The Christians heard it. They got out. You know, the Lord's going to preserve us too. And he's going to preserve our soul in whatever we face. And that's why he tells us not to be anxious and fearful and all those things. Because I will preserve your soul. The Lord has promised to do that. Make sure you remain. I'm thinking about patience now. I'm just thinking about the word. And then we'll apply it a little closer. But remain steadfast and unmovable in your soul and in your spiritual experience. Get and keep something sweet in your soul. Now, we're talking about love this morning. This is what love is. Love is patient, isn't it? Love is long-suffering. Love bears with things and keeps sweet in its soul. In its soul. Love is kind. It's, what did it say? It's long-suffering and be kind. Is that not? That's a big deal, isn't it? It makes a difference, because it's the difference between a love that's kind of malleable and, you know, it's there when everything's going pretty good, and it's not there at all when it's not. But it's like that table that the Lord wants to infuse to us, a love that loves at all times. That's what the Lord, that's the kind God gives. And he wants to infuse that into our lives and not let anything take it from us. That will probably come through some real life troubles and experiences. Says Thayer's patience, says, that's a Greek like Strong's, a concordance, steadfastness or constancy and endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Now that's all in the definition of patience. In the New Testament, it's somebody that's not swerved from their deliberate, they're the same. The table is hard and ground, and they're not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So when the Lord told them this about possessing their souls, he was saying, don't let it destroy you. Don't let it take your victory. I'll help you through it. You know, the Lord will help us through our troubles and our trials. He'll help us in our homes and in our marriages where things really are the toughest there sometimes. Is that not true? For most it is. Things can be the toughest there at times. And the Lord says, I'll take you through it. I'll take you through. Possess your souls. And all these things, possess your souls. And we have a pretty close relationship here, don't we? And the Lord wants to give us something that will endure and will stand. And when everything around us is bending and changing, it'll help us to be the same. Is that all right this morning? 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, we kind of alluded to this, but I love this scripture. I memorized this as a young person, and I've never really forgot it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, this morning, there are several elements here in this that Paul writes. He says, be steadfast and unmovable. That's a piece of what we've been talking about, isn't it? But he also says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to challenge us this morning that these elements that make up who we are as a Christian, and that the Lord wants to infuse into our lives, and it changes who we are. And these elements add to it, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that all right? He was writing to the Corinthians here. He wasn't writing to a particular person, to a minister. But you know what? We ought to have a heart that just gives and gives and gives, shouldn't we? And so let's let the Lord infuse that into us. I know some of us are really selfish when we begin. And I was one of them. I didn't know it. In some ways, I was selfish. I liked our life. I wanted our life. I didn't want to have very many people over because I liked our life like it was, just me and mine. But you know what? The Lord wants to infuse some things that are different. He wants us to look on what others have and others' people's needs and reaching out and abounding in the work of the Lord. And I wasn't trying to be selfish. I didn't even know it was. But you know, this morning, let's let that be infused in our life. I know we as men, we abound in our work, don't we? The saints are faithful people and they give themselves to what they do. We abound in our work. Let's don't forget to let the Lord infuse a bigger picture into our life. Abound in the work of the Lord. I can't think of anything more valuable. I cannot think. You'd be surprised how you will change and help other people through your life. All of us can. It's not a special person. There are special gifts, I know. But I'll tell you, every one of us have a place that a word might change the life of someone else. And I want to tell you, when you see that happen, that is a real blessing to our life. We're a partaker of the fruit there, aren't we? So, when we stop abounding in the work of the Lord and we start fixating on our problems or something that bothers us, we're going to lose ground fast. Did you know that? We're going to really lose ground fast when we fixate on the wrong thing. Let's fixate on what's the Lord got in mind here. That's exactly what I want. What's God got in mind? Oh, I want to encourage us this morning to let the Lord infuse into our life not a superficial love that happens when everything's going good. That's the way the world loves. But a love and a power and a strength that comes from taking and partaking of the presence of the Lord. The Lord wants to infuse it into our lives. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to live and things to do. And yes, it takes sacrifice. But that's all right, isn't it? When we have patience with our love, you know, it's just like working through the issues of life. Jesus told them, possess your souls when they start doing this to you. Well, you know, in our love, let's have patience with that. We have to have patience with other people, don't we? They have to have patience with us. And, you know, we may not realize that. But after you get through a few years, you realize people have to have patience with you too. And so it helps us, doesn't it? Oh, the Lord help us. Charity suffereth long, we read, and is kind. Affection, love, and goodwill. It's steadfast. It remains in effect, even in disappointment. It's stronger than death. It's mightier than the worst false accusation. It overcomes the evil and the poison that could come into a relationship. It overcomes it with good. It prevails in the face of much evil. Do you know this morning, this kind of love don't come because we try harder. It comes because we draw up close to the Lord. And we allow His work into our heart and life. And when we do that, it changes who we are, doesn't it? It changes us. It changes us wonderfully. And many times we draw decisive victories that really change who we are the rest of our life. It really does that. So this morning, you know, we do this with our children, don't we? We bear long with them. We see the best in them. We try our best to see the good in them. We work with them. We try to lift them up. We try to be patient with them. But you know what? When it's adults, what happens? Sometimes it don't happen that way, does it? The Lord wants it to happen that way. That's who He is. That's an evidence of fruit of His Spirit living in our life and it growing in that. It's an evidence of what God wants to put into our life. And so this morning, the Lord help us to allow this same love that we would have for our little children. They're just little. Oh, we just got to bear with them. We got to be patient with them. We keep correcting them, but it's with such love, isn't it? Oh, we love to see them prosper. You know what? The Lord wants to put that in our heart for all men, doesn't He, this morning? I want to tell you something else about love. When it is recognized and when somebody realizes, hey, you love me, don't you? It changes all kinds of things. It breaks down barriers that you could not say 10,000 words to overcome. But love, when it's recognized, when it's pure, when it's strong, when it's been purified and really the Lord's allowed infusing into that the qualities of patience and giving up of ourself and all of those things. And when it's infused like that, folks, it's something the world doesn't know, isn't it? In 1 John 4 and 7, there wouldn't be any wars if there was this kind of love. 1 John 4 and 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And I want us to remember something this morning. Love is of God. Did you know that it's not of ourself? It's not because, oh, we were born real loving. It's because we received it from the Lord. It's something that God wants to give to us. Love in the face of great hardship this morning. He that loveth, let's see. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. That's beautiful, isn't it? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to die for our sins. That's pretty big, isn't it? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now I want to tell you, that don't stop at marriage. That don't stop in marriage. That don't stop with our children. It reigns through our whole life. And this morning, the Lord opened our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our capacity to take in what God is. Lord, let me see You. You know, sometimes we have to bear a long time with faults of someone. Sometimes they have to bear a long time with ours. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've been embarrassed at how long it took me to figure out my own fault sometimes. You know that? Because I try real hard not to have faults. But you know what I found? I have faults. And why did it take me so long to figure it out? But you know what? As we bear with one another and we love one another, it sets the stage where we can understand things better, doesn't it? This morning. There's just such a strength in bearing long when we maintain and keep what the Lord has given us. Patience works with love. It's a vital part of love. If we don't include it, and you know, well, I'm just not a patient person. I say what I want to say. Oh, what a mistake. What a grave mistake. The Lord wants us to humble our hearts and let Him put love in that tongue. Love in that attitude. Sometimes the tongue maybe don't get there all the time because maybe we haven't seen Him for. It's in our attitude sometimes. And the Lord wants to work with it, doesn't He? Lots of times He lets us get put under a lot of heat. And it starts bringing that stuff to the top, doesn't it? It's the only way it can come out sometimes. And the Lord wants to remove it. He's not trying to crush us and ruin us. He's trying to develop and change us and give us a deeper work than we even understood. Not necessarily that we want to be bad, think we're bad, but the Lord puts us under heat and we see what needs to come out, don't we? That's what the Lord does. I was thinking about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. And Paul was telling these people, he said, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Do you know, sometimes I'm sure that these people, probably a lot of them, just thought they were right. They were having strivings in the Corinthian church. They were having troubles that they shouldn't have been having. But and maybe all of them thought they were right. You know, he said, "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" You know, we can walk as men if we're not careful. And that's who we are without God's influence and change, isn't it? We are men. We are men unless God takes our life, dwells in it, changes us, teaches us. Folks, God has good ways. If we can only recognize the Lord's ways are wonderful. They're not just better. They're absolutely awesome. And if we can look and see God's ways and say, "Lord, imprint Your ways upon my heart. Teach me to be a patient person. Teach me to bear a long time with something or with somebody." And that takes time to stand before the glass. And I want to read about that. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know that there is a changing within us that happens? That word glory, I'll come back to that. That word glory means splendor, dignity, brightness. And it says we are changed from glory to glory. There is a work that changes us from one, what do you call it? One growth to another? One level to another? See a little baby grow up? What do you call that? Growth? And there are some things that changes us from one glory to another. And we see the Lord in our life in a greater way than we saw Him yesterday or last year. And so it says here, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. You know, these things come, understandings from the Lord come by beholding His presence. And by standing before Him, by reading His Word, it's a mirror to us, isn't it? And we stand before that mirror, before that glass, and we look at it, and we see what it says. And we ask the Lord for grace, don't we? Lord, I've got to move up into this area here. I see where You want. But you know, if we get too taken up with everything else in life, or we don't pay attention, then we remain stunted, don't we? And we find ourselves grappling with the basic issues of life when the Lord wants our life to go on. He wants to start using us in ways that He can't today. The Lord wants to do that. And so we have to stand before the Lord and look into the glass and let Him change us and let Him give us a little of His splendor and dignity and glory from one growth to another. Isn't that what a little child does? They grow up and it's beautiful. And you say, hey, they're walking. And now they're able to take the trash out. And that's a little help, isn't it? And then they're able to start really helping and doing things. You know, and they're a blessing, aren't they? It's a splendorous thing. I look at little children. I look at what God does in them. They're so helpless when they start. And such a blessing when they get older if they follow the Lord. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to look into His Word. And He wants us to look into the things that we hear from His Word and apply it and ask for the grace of God. Lord, teach me Your ways. I believe Your ways are awesome beyond anything I can understand. Oh, help me to just take the little things I do get light on, understanding. James tells us, he says, for if any man, this is 1 and 23, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's like a man that looks in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so if we hear the word, but we don't apply it, and we don't apply ourselves to it. See, when we're in our businesses, folks, because we all relate to that, many of us, most of us do. We relate to that, don't we? When we're in our work, at our job, whatever that job is, we see it, we recognize there's a need, we write it down, don't we? I do. I write things down because it's got to be changed. It's got to be worked on. This has to be fixed. This person has to be called today. You know, otherwise we just go on and we forget, don't we? That's what we do with the Lord's, the good things of God. We go on and we forget them. And the Lord wants us to take them home. He wants us to think about them. Make it maybe a time of devotion through the week. Lord, I want You to change me into Your glory. A little at a time. And here's my first one. I need it, Lord. And I believe God will do that. I want to look at one other scripture here, at least. I guess that'll be the last one, maybe. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. And listen to what he says here. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Does it mean because we are patient and we bear long with people that we don't have a backbone? Does it mean that we don't have any bones, we're just whatever happens, happens? You know what? Sometimes he said, warn the unruly. There needs to be some authority in our life, doesn't there? Given by God. Not authority that we take, but authority that God gives us because of the responsibility we have in whatever place, in our home, in our own life, on the job. And sometimes we have things that have to be done. But he says, be patient toward all men. Be patient toward everyone. No matter what situation we come into or what we have to be a part of, folks, love them. Be patient toward them. Try to help them. Let's humble ourselves until we have the strength of God in our life, and we'll be a lot better equipped to help someone else, won't we? Y'all pray for me. I want to be that way. We all have outside pressures we have to put up with. And we have to bear with others, and they have to bear with us. But folks, things get a lot better when it's done with love. And so this morning, let's ask God to give us that kind of love. Because when it's done that way, things get a lot better, don't they? It just does. Forgiveness is a lot easier. People can work together better. But it has to be done with patience toward all men and love. You pray for me.